begin, to begin. Again, today we begin again in the season of Advent, the first day in the new Christian liturgical year. We make a first beginning that may be for you, or another beginning to continue again that may be you. Years ago in the North Country, having a Sunday free, we invited a guest preacher to come and be with the congregation. And as you do on return, we asked how things went on Sunday. And the congregation was kind and gentle, and they said the service went fine, and the sermon was good. But after a while, you could see a little smile, and one finally admitted, well, there was this one moment in the service. He began the prayer and finished the pastoral morning prayer, and then he led into the Lord's Prayer, saying, now join with me in the prayer Jesus has taught us, long silence. Please join with me in saying the dominical prayer, long silence. Would you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Again, silence. Finally, he looked up and said, folks, I don't remember how it starts. Could you get me going? Could you help me get started? It's interesting how the lacunae, the moments of intervention, the unplanned accidents in liturgy tend to be those we most clearly remember. Could you help me get started? At Marsh Chapel over these years, by grace, you, the lay leadership, ministry teams of Marsh Chapel, have offered to this community and by radio and grace around the globe so many ways to begin. So we have this communion service today, and we have the Lessons and Carols service on Friday evening at 6 o'clock, December 7th, the evening before, the trimming and lighting of the tree at 5 o'clock. Then next Sunday, especially, Lessons and Carols on Sunday morning with our open house to follow. We trust and hope you will come. Later that afternoon, the Blue Christmas service. And then through the month, services on Sunday, the 16th and the 23rd and the 30th, and two services on Christmas Eve at 1 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. You have offered yourselves to those who want to make a beginning in the life of faith. And many, as has become your practice, will take a moment to invite a friend to come with you, to invite a neighbor to come with you, to invite a cousin to come with you, to invite a fellow worker or acquaintance to come with you, for someone who doesn't yet have what we enjoy, a church family to love and a church home to receive. What a gift, a blessing it is to invite someone to come with you. You've started out. You've helped others to get going. Likewise, and behind and underneath all of that, it is your generosity, Marsh Chapel, your giving, Marsh Chapel, that has built this set of offerings in Advent and Christmas. Your regular, steady, tithed and percentage giving 52 weeks a year. Your support for the endowment, new endowment for ministry and music. Your giving to Friends of Music. Your reception and support of our newest ministry grants. And for some, especially in this season, a willingness to give into the unforeseen future to support the full endowment of the deanship of Marsh Chapel. You and others, those visible and those virtual in our community, have offered yourselves in these years to build a community of faith that allows a woman or a man to make a start, to begin. How do I begin the life of faith? How do I get started? Could you help me get started? Well, you are doing that in hospitality and in global outreach, in ministry and in music. It helps to begin each week, come Sunday, here, in service and scripture and sacrament, in the modeling of the faith by others in the pew with you, in meaning, belonging, and empowerment here in the community of faith. It helps to begin each day, as Luther did, with the recitation of forms, scripture and prayers, creeds from the history of the church, so you might begin each morning, speaking of taking a start, reciting as he did the Decalogue, no other God, and so on. Or the Lord's Prayer, our Father, and so on. Or the Creed, I believe in, and so on. You might add the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and so on. You might add the Pauline 13, let love be genuine, and so on. Begin the full day in mind, holding something by heart. There are some things you want to carry with you through the day, week, month, year, decade, life. Almost 5 years ago, we celebrated here the life and faith and in memorial for the faithfulness of a Boston University alumnus of world renown, Dr. Ken Edelin. He was an African-American leader across the country and in medicine. Sanctuary was packed, following which someone I had known by video camera, Charlene Hunter Gault, a journalist, a newscaster, a person involved in community life across the country, said, I want to speak to you about the Lord's Prayer, which you used. Find me at the collation. So over the meal, I found her, and she said, when I was 18 years old, I was the first African-American to integrate my alma mater, the University of Georgia. And there was consternation. I was threatened. I was stalked. I was hollered at, and I was frightened. The administrators told me, you probably should go home for a while. But I remembered my Baptist preacher dad and mom in ministry. I knew what they had given for me, so I went to my room alone, and I closed the blinds so no one could see me, and I turned down the lights, and I sat on the edge of the bed for that evening and night, and I repeated and recited the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As those stones pelted that window, she was able to recall a word of faith. You need to carry some things with you to begin. To begin, you may want to do some reading, to read through the Gospel of Mark, if you haven't done so this Advent. You may want to read C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, or my old teacher and mentor, N.T. Wright's modern version of that, Simply Christian, or some of the writings of the deans of Marsh Chapel, of Franklin Littell or Howard Thurman, Robert Hamill, Robert Thornburg, Robert Cummings Neville, or the current dean. Collections that will guide you to begin. How do I start? Sunday in worship, morning in prayer, regularly in reading. We begin each Lord's Day with the nourishment, the robust nourishment of the Holy Scripture. Jeremiah and David and Paul and Luke help us to start this day as we come to the Lord's table. So Jeremiah, the voice of the prophet from the Hebrew Scripture, wherein God is always and ever, the word used today, the God of promise, the God of the future, the God of hope. Yahweh, I am that I am, guiding the pilgrim, journeying, itinerant people of faith as God guides us to this day. Jeremiah preached 4 decades of unheeded sermons and was buried in an unmarked grave. But he is remembered for the courage he gave the people of Israel to move through the destruction in Babylon and to come forward with the promise, Judah will be saved, Jerusalem will be vouchsafed. Jeremiah helps us begin. The psalmist, legendarily David, though he didn't write all the psalms we know, guides us as well. Do we listen each week to the rejoicing and the gladness in the words of the psalm? Today, most honestly, remember not the sins, the transgressions of my youth, but embrace me in thy chesed, thy steadfast love. Your singing, recitation, and response of the psalm helps us to begin. Paul of Tarsus, writing to the Thessalonians, this is the earliest speaking of starts, speaking of beginnings, the earliest document in the 27 of the New Testament, written in the year 50. We have other portions that may be earlier, but this is the first of the New Testament documents. And it begins and ends and includes in each chapter the reference to Yahweh, the God of promise, and the expectation, the coming of the Lord. So Paul here, that you may be prepared, that you may be, your hearts may be blameless in holiness at, here is his phrase, every chapter of all the five, the coming of the Lord. To be living on tiptoe, to be on the qui vive, alert and ready. Paul helps us to begin. And so, Luke, you noticed this morning that we moved from St. Mark to St. Luke. We're listening now over the next 52 weeks to a later gospel, though in this section it's not unlike Mark 13. You recognize that the prediction is that there are some here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Not quite timely in accuracy, but accurate in a fuller sense for all time. For which is more difficult, to wait for an unforeseen, invisible end day way out there, sometime, somewhere? Or to recognize, come Sunday and every day, that each day is our last. Today is your last day, until the one given perhaps tomorrow. Every one day, as Walter Rauschenbusch put it, is the eschaton, is the last day. Luke helps us to be alert. The scholars would say he moves from eschatology to ethics. Well, he inherited a Jewish apocalyptic right out of central casting. He uses it, but he turns at the end and encourages us to avoid dissipation and drunkenness. While Francis Willard in our back window would utterly agree, and we together can agree to let each day be the gift of one day, the last day. Luke helps us to begin. The scripture, Jeremiah, David, Paul, and Luke help us to begin. You know, this last 48 hours we've been remembering together the life and the courages of our 41st president. You will have your own favorite memories, but two stand out in the shadow of, in the illumination and brilliance of today's scripture. You remember that George H.W. Bush famously jumped out of an airplane with a parachute at age 90. Now, some of us wouldn't do that at age 9 or 19, 29, or any age, but there he did, free-falling and smiling together. That's the thing about faith, to begin. It always takes some kind of leap. That's why Kierkegaard spoke about the leap of faith. It takes a kind of courage, and we remember 41, floating, free fall. It takes a leap. We also remember his inaugural speech just a little while before, by the way, he spoke at the graduation of Boston University some months, a year following. And what did he say? He said, I have an aspiration for a country, a land, a people, a culture that is kinder and gentler, gentler and kinder. That leap of faith that is aspirational. Now, you can overhear there, can't you? The echo of Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Well, it's not only the leaders of our country today and in the days gone by who speak to us, but today we turn, as the sermon concludes, to one of our future leaders. My friend C. Lee Johnson wrote in the devotions that Nick Rodriguez and others put together for the autumn, and Jessica Chica and her team will continue in Advent, a beautiful meditation about getting started, about beginning, about being at Wheelock College and coming to Boston University. And I was going to quote it in the sermon, but I thought, she'll be here. Let's have her read it so you can hear her voice. Saley?
I received an email that would change everything for me. Wheelock College, as I had known for 2 years, was going to close effective June 1st, 2018, and that Wheelock would be merging with Boston University. As expected, I had a minor meltdown and lots of questions spinning in my head. I told my mom, essentially, I did not sign up for this. I am not going to Boston University. No way. I really considered transferring to Emmanuel College, which I had gotten into along with Wheelock. My mom eventually talked me out of it, even though I was still hesitant. Sophomore year flew by, and it got to the point where there was a lot of tension at Wheelock because people wanted answers. This was another transition because I had to transition into getting ready to essentially start my college career all over again. I finished sophomore year and went home determined to spend the summer preparing myself for the transition and the new school year. I returned to Boston ready for the challenge of a bigger school, more people, and tougher classes. I was also determined to get involved in some way at BU. However, the most important thing for me, I knew, was to find a church and a church family. Soon enough, I found my church and my church family at Marsh Chapel, got the internship of my dreams, and rushed Alpha Phi Omega, a co-ed fraternity focused on community service. Even though I knew that the transition would not be easy, I knew that the transition would be part of life, just as my mom told me growing up. Transitions themselves are not the issue, but how well you respond to their challenges. This quote has been one of our family sayings for years. Our lives prepare us for the transitions the future brings. Sometimes when we're going through the hardest transitions in our lives, such as when I had to let go of Wheelock and become part of a new community and part of something bigger than myself. I've always been told that how well you respond to change and transition says a lot, and I truly believe that's the truth. However, I believe that my faith has really played a role just as much in how I handle transitions and change. I have my God to thank for how well this experience has gone so far for me, and I know for a fact that I would not be where I am without my faith. I believe that before the semester, and I believe that now.
Can you join me in giving her a hand? Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and are in love and charity with your neighbor and intend to lead a new life, intend to make a new beginning, intend to begin, come, draw near in faith, and take this sacrament to your comfort. Amen.